Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. They didn't want to give this whole baptism thing too much attention. So what does the word baptizo mean? Well, it's very interesting. The word baptizo means to immerse, right? We know this. But did you ever hear it translated this way? This is cool. Because I just came across this past week. The word literally means to plunge. And this is passive. You were baptized. As many of us as were baptized passively, were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now really think about this. You sing it. It's in your hymns. And sinners plunged beneath the flood. Lose all their guilty sins. That is a direct relationship to this word. You know, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilt. It's the blood. It's that whole song is about the blood. We have been plunged into Jesus, meaning if you can feel it, can you feel it viscerally? It's not just a baptism. It's you're down under, way down under, because you're in Jesus now. And your identification with Jesus now means you don't have to worry about sin anymore. It will no longer have, he'll say it in the verses below, sin will never have any more dominion over you. And so the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were plunged into Jesus Christ were plunged into his death? You see how that just sings? Just think about how cool that is. He has immersed us in him, but the plunge word has the feeling how immense this position we now have is. We are in him. We are in him. And when you read the scriptures, you begin to see that Paul was not just saying this in one location, but many. He says it over and over again, but probably one of the most profound places is in Ephesians in chapter 1. If you want to turn over there, you can do that. I can't give you all of the verses because I just gave the cleft notes here for this. But if you read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It says, wherein, and these are other verses below this, you have to look for the words to find them, but it says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are in Christ Jesus, we have spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's a location. We are in him. And in him, he has made us acceptable in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, in whom you were sealed. And in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places, listen, in Christ Jesus. So where he's seated right now is at the right hand of the Father, and we are in him far above principalities and powers. Now, does that make you feel like you're a little bit better off for being here this morning? Because reality is, these are things that you have because he's plunged you into Jesus. Just as you were plunged into sin because you had an Adamic background, your heritage was of Adam and Eve and all of that, we now have been placed in Christ. So reading it again, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were plunged into Jesus Christ, we were plunged into his death. Now, we look at the baptismal picture, the symbol of water baptism. All we're saying is, I believe that has happened to me already. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. And you're saying, I see it. I understand it. That when he died, it was as if I was in him. When he was buried, it was as if I was in him being buried. My sins paid for. My death was reckoned. And then when he rose from the dead, he's going to point out, we also rose with him. So this identification, how important is that? Well, it's important because basically it goes back to the telic principle of the whole passage. And that is that we are saved by grace through faith. Faith means I know what God says, I know what God says he did, and I know what he did now because I know God can't lie. Now identification gets some teeth. That's called faith. God gives us his truth, he gives us his word, he gives us the insights to what he's up to, and it all makes perfect sense. Now listen, you may not feel like it makes sense that you were immersed in him at first, But the more you read and the more you find out he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, the more you see that there was blood put on the doorposts of the people of Israel in the Egyptian bondage, and the more you see that death angel said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Listen, this all has its moorings in the history of Israel. And you and I have the opportunity to get that 30,000-foot look, and we can understand. He has placed us in Jesus. It's as if he was me, because it was he for me. God poured out his wrath upon sin on that cross. Jesus took my punishment, and he died. 3 days he stayed in that grave, and God was saying, I am satisfied. A death has been measured out. We were under a death penalty. And Jesus said, take me. And God didn't have to compromise his holiness for his love's sake so that he could get us into heaven, into a relationship with him. He literally had his son pay our way. Verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him. So he just said, know ye not that so many of us as were immersed into Jesus Christ were immersed into his death. So we got a debt that is on our account that's already been paid. So our death record is off of the books. You ever see those things where they talk about purging somebody's record after they turn them into adult? You know, they get rid of their record. Well, God took our record away. We have no death penalty over us. We have no blame. God says he will make us blameless before him and is able to do so. Verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried. And this is talking still about baptism, not about the burial proper, but we are buried with him by baptism into death. Death has been reckoned. We identify. This is about identification. We identify with Jesus. And what we do is we understand that death that he died was in our behalf. The Father, sitting in his throne room in glory, looks down at us and he sees us as white as snow. You say, is that even possible? I don't feel like it's possible. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is able to make you white as snow. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to not have any blips and trips and things as you're growing. You're a babe when you first get saved. You don't know everything. You know, some people, they have really terrible backgrounds. Have you ever seen a child that came up in a home that was 100% neglectful? I mean, the maggots in the sink, there's no food. I've seen people who, they brought their groceries home and they'd rip the bag open and just whenever anybody wanted to eat, they could. The dishes were not washed. The cereal bowls were sitting around the house. I mean, it was like the hoarding kind of things you might hear. Awful stuff. What kind of a life does that child hope for? And I'm just talking about on a human level. That little child becomes like a little urchin that is just surviving and maybe could hurt and bite and, you know, become almost animalistic if it gets no nurturing. My point is this, is some people get saved, but they have no Bible and they only get a little bit and God does a miracle by saving them and they can only grow so far and they will be better than they were and God will soften the important things just like Jericho fell. But there's got to be some Bible getting in there. There's got to be a word for a person to really begin to get their legs under them and see and thrive. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is why we need the Bible. This is why we need it taught, and this is why we need to learn it. Because when we see what he's telling us right here in just a few verses, he's just told you, your death has been reckoned. You might not have known that. It was literally something that God has put on your account. Okay, there's a death here that's been paid. This person, they can go free. You're free. And he's going to say that. He says in verse 4, he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And of course, that's the other part. We don't only say we were in him and he was crucified and he was buried and we were in him and we were buried. But in reality, because we were in him and are plunged into him positionally before God. Think about that. God sees Jesus when he looks at you. You are loved in the Beloved. That's he looks at you. Every time the devil gets a little something going against you, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's right there. He's not only our Savior, he's our advocate. He's the one who stands pleading with the Father for us when the devil comes blaming day in and day out. And so all of the factors are in his cognizance. He knows everything about you. I heard years ago a statement. It's not a Bible verse, but it's an interesting statement. It says, to know all is to forgive all. Now, we know that's not true exactly, but it does have a morsel of truth in it. If you knew when somebody came in and hurt you really badly with their tongue, how badly they had just been hurt before they came in. It's like when they give you their apology, they're like, you know, I just got in a fight on the road, literally, physically a fight. Somebody got out of the car and somebody, and I had to get out. And the next thing, he hit me and I pushed him back and I feel terrible about it. I literally know a guy that happened to. He was a buddy of mine in the old church we were at in Pennsylvania. That guy got right in the middle of the road. He stopped in front of him. He got out. He got out to answer the guy, and the guy came up and he got in a fight right there in the middle of the street. How would you feel when you came in seeing something was askew that just aggravated you a little bit once in a while, and all of a sudden you're barking and hitting? And to know all, to forgive all, sometimes it makes a little sense. God knows everything. He knows where you are in your journey. He knows why you struggle with what you struggle with. And He understands it. And He knows how to get you past it, because it's what He does. The Bible tells us that we are in a process of what's called sanctification. And we get a little better, maybe two steps forward, three steps back, sometimes we feel. But we know more now. And when we get up on our feet again and we start moving forward, we at least know we're going to hit that bump. And then we can begin to say, know what? This is not helping me. This is not good. I'm not going to allow myself this kind of a behavior anymore. The Bible says we were buried with Him by baptism into death. We were plunged into His death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's a very interesting thing to say, that we also should walk in newness of life, because the sense of that verse is that it is a possibility that we will walk in newness of life. In other words, you may not walk perfectly at first, but it's what is expected, it is what is anticipated. I will tell you, when I was a little boy at age 8, I would pray a prayer many times, but I didn't know anything about my walk. All I knew is I didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted Jesus, and I believed He died for me. I didn't know anything about my walk. And I'm sure I might have behaved a little better, because the Holy Spirit does make you soften up a little bit, and I had a couple of little experiences in my life thereafter. I was probably 8 or 9, but it wasn't until 12 that I got into a church where I saw the Word of God preached. And my heart was beating 100 miles an hour, and I felt like I need to go forward. And when the preacher got up and gave an invitation, I was blown away, and I went forward, and I met with somebody, and they put me in a back room. And I remember praying, and I remember getting baptized thereafter. I remember I was so happy. I was skipping all over the church after my baptism. I was so happy that I'd done what I should do. But you know what? I hadn't done all I should do. I'd just done what I should do at that point. I felt really good about it. And you will too. You do what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to feel pretty good. You're going to judge that and say, I feel pretty good about what I just did. But then you're going to run into your old man. He's right around the corner. He's saying, hey, remember me? And you're not going to pay any attention because you don't know you're supposed to be watching out. But do you know that the devil is afoot? The Bible says the devil walks to and fro throughout the whole earth seeking whom he may devour. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant, because he's out there looking to take you down. And sometimes people don't know that. And when they get hit upside the head with their old man, they don't know that's their old sin nature still there, because they haven't had a chance to learn that. They've got a sin nature inside of them. They got a sin nature, they got Satan, and they got a world that's arrayed against them. Everything's arrayed against you. Do you know what's a miracle? That you're here today at all. Because you have a Holy Spirit in you who says there's something I should be doing, and you're looking perhaps at your kids or your grandkids, and you're looking at yourself and you're saying, this is helpful, because when I'm doing that, I know I feel better about myself and what I'm doing, because you're just doing basically what you know to do. Now, there's a whole lot more to do. We have those beads on our bracelets, you know, the gold bead, the black bead. We've got the red bead and the white bead. But, you know, the last one's the green bead, and that's growing up. And when you grow up, you ought to be able to tell somebody how to be saved. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.